2021-23 capital budget request. This is a briefing and a decision. Mr. Burns.
Yes. Hello. Go ahead and share my screen. Well, good afternoon, Chair Carpenter, Vice Chair Baker, Commissioners, and Director Suswin. I can't see any of the video, so if I can get somebody to acknowledge that they can see the screen okay, the PowerPoint.
I don't have you sharing screen yet, Tim.
Oh, okay. Let's try that again.
Do you want me to bring it up?
No, I would probably need to learn how to do this, but let's try that.
I know, and we practice too.
Yeah, I know, and it worked then. So I'm showing a screen sharing with a green line on it. Let's try that.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
Great. All right. Apologize for that. A little short interruption here. So once again, good afternoon, Chair Carpenter, Vice Chair Baker, Commissioners, and Director Suswin. It's good to virtually see everybody once again. And for the record, I'm Tim Burns, Program Director of the Capital and Asset Management Program. Today's briefing is to introduce the proposed capital budget request for fiscal year 21-23 biennium and answer any questions on the proposal. After today's presentation, we are requesting the Commission's approval of this capital budget request. The briefing will address the following, the capital budget process schedule, how we prioritized and ranked the proposed projects, our proposed 10-year plan, and a brief description of some of the projects and the next steps in the process. The capital budget process started about several months ago with the programs and regions developing their lists of new projects and confirming those projects that were currently on the backlog list. Those projects were evaluated, prioritized by the capital budget work group, followed by approval from the executive management team this past June. And today is the next step for commission review and approval in order for us to submit it to OFM by mid-September. And likewise, with the operating budget, we'll see the get our first look at the governor's proposed capital budget in December, and followed by legislative approval in the spring of 2021. And as you can see, it is about a one-year plus process. Just as we did for the three previous capital budget requests, we used a weighted criteria-based ranking process for developing the budget request. Each of the 350-plus projects was evaluated and scored using these 11 criteria. And as an example, for safety, we evaluated for each project, what's the extent does this project improve safety of the public or the staff, or does it correct a code compliance deficiency? A prioritized list of projects was developed based on their final score. And using this prioritized list, a 10-year capital budget plan was developed. And this is the heart of our capital budget request. This summary chart emphasizes the FY21-23 portion of the 10-year plan. And so as you can see, the 10-year plan identifies almost $680 million of projects that we have in our current backlog. For the next biennium, our 10-year plan is comprised of $24 million in minor works and then 17 major projects for a total of $144 million in our request. And then as a point of reference, this biennium, we received about $10.5 million for minor works and about $43 million for 13 major projects. And just and as a further note, just to remember that the this capital budget came about less than a year after the delay in the previous biennial capital budget. So there was, they weren't looking at giving us a lot of money. In addition, I want to point out a placeholder project, and this is for southern resident killer whales. And we just a little correction to something Nate stated earlier. We did recently, just this past week, we kicked off the master planning process for infrastructure improvements for increasing production for killer whales. This contract we was not exempt from the or was exempt from the hiring freeze for contracts. So we were able to move forward. We made an award to a contractor. We had the first technical evaluation team meeting this past week, and they're putting together the outline of the plan and target dates so they can, so we can meet our January 2021 due date for the report. So if a project pops up early in the process or even up through through December, we should have an opportunity to slip it into our capital budget at that point. And then in addition, the green highlighted cells, they represent funding for pre-design, design and permitting. And then the yellow cells represent funding for construction. And as you can see, we have a significant ask for construction this next biennium, which is a change. We've spent a lot of money buying paper and designs over the past few years, and now it's time to buy some concrete and steel.
Tim, if I may, Commissioner Anderson has a question.
Yes, sir.
Yes, this concerns, you mentioned the southern resident killer whale and the evaluation process is something is developed and gets, you said you could plug it in. How do you plug it in? Do you plug it in? Is it in a priority order? Or do you go back through and do a re-evaluation of the list, trying to understand how it fits into the matrix you have?
Sure, great question. We ran it through the same scoring system, just as a generic project to support increased production, and it scored as our number two highest major project. So we would slip it in as our as a high priority.
So all, anything that comes out in a complete fashion would be placed in that order?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
I want to address our minor works project request. Consists of about 60 sub-projects totaling close to $24 million. Minor works projects are those projects that cost more than $25,000, but less than $1 million, and are typically completed within one biennium. Examples of our minor works projects are summarized on this slide. And again, as you can see, we have placeholders for southern resident killer whale recovery projects if we have some minor works projects that pop out as well. So similarly, they've been that we've we have a placeholder and pretty high up in the priority list. Like the major projects list, should a minor project, oh, I already said that about, and then also I think that's about it. A lot of these projects in some way currently support hatcheries that do support production for killer whales as well. So, I'd like to talk a little bit about major projects now. And again, those are projects greater than $1 million or take multiple biennia to complete. And they are identified singularly in our 10-year plan. Projects that are typically, that are over $5 million are typically phased over more than one biennium. And this is, sometimes they, OFM wants us to split it out into a pre-design phase, design and permitting, and then construction. And then again, as a frame of reference, we received about $43 million this current biennium. So our major project list is predominantly focused on improving facilities at our hatcheries in the most need of repairs and upgrades. Project components include upgrading rear end ponds, adult ponds, pollution abatement ponds, intake structures, and other facility and infrastructure enhancements. projects will improve hatchery production, operational efficiencies, improve the quality of discharged water, and more, most importantly, improve worker safety. We have a project in for hazard fuel reduction. This will reduce fire risk through prescribed burning and forest thinning actions in over 9,000 targeted acres of fish and wildlife forest land in eastern Washington in the next biennium. Work would include burn unit layout, conducting forest thinning and pre-burn fuel treatment projects, conducting fuel assessments, and implementing burns to meet restoration and resource objectives. Next biennium, we anticipate focusing operations in the Sherman Creek, Scotch Creek, Metow, Kalakum, LT Murray, Oak Creek, and the Blue Mountains wildlife areas. The state and the Army Corps of Engineers have signed a MOU for modifications to the Toutle River Fish Collection Facility, not to be confused with the North Toutle Hatchery, which is nearby. This project is to meet 95% passage requirement, and it provides a safer and more efficient fish collection facility. The overall budget of the project is estimated to be about $148 million, with the federal government funding 83% of the budget and the state 17%. And the predominant piece for the Army Corps is raising of the sedimentation dam that is on the Toutle River. Project also includes acquiring land for an upstream release site and access to the Mount St. Helens wildlife area. This current biennium, we received $6.8 million for our cost share of the design, replacing the facility's residence, a new truck-mounted fish tank for hauling fish, and funding for real estate actions for an easement acquisition and land purchase. Next biennium, we're looking for $14 million for land acquisition and some construction cost support. The Wiley Slough setback dike does not meet acceptable federal flood protection standards. And in addition, there are several areas where seepage has been identified. The levee is part of a diking system responsible for protection of public land and private property and infrastructure on Fur Island. Failure of the levee has the potential to impact hundreds of acres of viable farmland, private property, homes, and roads. Upon completion of the repairs and operations and maintenance responsibilities of the levee will be transferred to the local diking district. We are requesting $5.6 million for the construction phase. We received almost $1 million in the supplemental budget for design and permitting. One of the new projects that we haven't seen in the past is a new fish and wildlife health and biosecurity facility. And this is desperately needed in the South Central Puget Sound. Currently, there are no other facilities available that meet these needs. As a result, staff are using substandard facilities and makeshift workarounds. A new facility with adequate office space, lab, chemical, and sample storage facilities is needed to meet the ongoing management and research demands for both the fish program and the wildlife program. A new facility would address three major needs: a marine mammal lab to support pinniped, whale entanglement, and killer whale research, a fish pathology lab to support health assessments for fish hatcheries, and a terrestrial wildlife health lab to address increasing contamination of our fish and wildlife and emerging wildlife diseases in birds, mammals, reptiles, and amphibians. The Wound Wildlife Area Floodplain Improvements Project is a multi-biennial project to address the deteriorating conditions of the seven Buchanan Lakes and other infrastructure while also enriching recreational uses. In addition, it will complement the habitat enhancement goals of the BPA Snake River Salmon Recovery Board. We are requesting $5 million in the next biennium for the next phase of the improvements, which is construction of the Deer Lake improvements, which is currently under design, and also to kick off the design of the improvements for the next phase, which would be the Watson, Beaver Lake, and Spring Lakes. The department is planning to close the Grays River hatchery due to aging facilities and the inability to maintain an adequate supply of water to the hatchery. The bedload of sediment in Grays River is choking off our ability to draw the necessary water for fish production. The Army Corps will no longer allow us to perform our annual dredging of the river to maintain those flows needed. The plan is to shift fish production to the Beaver Creek hatchery and close the Grays River hatchery. In order to accommodate the increased production, a significant recapitalization effort is needed. And we are requesting $2.6 million to complete the pre-design, design, and permitting of the project in the next biennium. We are requesting funding to construct a secured storage compound at our Region 1 headquarters office. This is the third and final phase of the Spokane Regional Office Complex, which began in 2003. Due to the local business park covenants, uncovered overnight parking is prohibited. Therefore, we park all of our equipment and vehicles and use off-site storage. The project will construct two storage facilities and a covered parking facility for the state-owned vehicles and equipment. We received $150,000 this biennium to complete a pre-design, and we will be requesting $7.2 million for design and construction for funding. And the reason we're asking for design and construction is, unlike a lot of our hatchery projects, the permitting requirements are a little easier, and we feel we can get the proper permits and get it designed and actually start construction in one biennium. We also requesting funds to make repairs at the Snow Creek access site, which we have owned since 1978. This is a very popular facility on Nia Bay, and it's used for fishing, wildlife viewing, and boating. The facility consisted of an old rail launch system, a deteriorated steel pier, which we have since demolished, and a floating dock system and camping sites. The department received funding in this biennium to complete a pre-design report, and we are requesting $800,000 to start the design and permitting phase for this project. Once again, in this biennium, we are requesting $1.2 million to continue our cooperative fencing and cost share program with landowners who experience chronic crop damage caused by deer and elk. We will use $900,000 for replacing elk fencing on our lands and use the remaining $300,000 to purchase materials for private landowners who will provide the labor to install the fencing. Our last piece of our capital budget is are classified as grants, and this is typically pass-through funding. First, the department is requesting $5.5 million to initiate a grant program for private landowners to restore habitat on their properties. In addition, it will work to support local conservation districts through purchasing plants from their plant sales and creating Washington Conservation Corps, Puget Sound Corps, and Veterans Corps jobs for construction, landscaping, and plant installation. It will also support native plant nursery staffing and landscape architects necessary to create plans for landowners. Secondly, the City of Yakima is leading a partnership to remove the Nelson Dam on the Natchez River. The project will improve fish passage for ESA-listed species, bull trout, and Middle Columbia River steelhead. It will decrease flood risk to nearby residents and improve water supply availability. The total project cost is $25 million, and the city is seeking $8.5 million from the state. Lastly, we are requesting $64 million for the construction of the next phase of the PISNRP initiative. This phase includes rerouting State Highway 101 and constructing a new highway bridge and removing an existing bridge in the Duckabush estuary area. There is a $35 million federal match for this as well. And that project's under design. WashDOT is doing the bridge and highway design at this moment. Lastly, this slide summarizes our capital budget request for the next biennium. It includes $144 million for construction bonds, $78 million for grants, $10.5 million for federal and local contracting authority, and $600,000 for the migratory waterfowl account. There will also be a reappropriation component of the budget to carry forward previous biennial funding for existing projects. And staff will be continuing to refine the project descriptions and budget estimates over the next month prior to our submission to OFM. This concludes my presentation on our capital budget request. Again, we are looking for approval of the capital budget at today's meeting, and I'll be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Any questions for Tim? Commissioner Anderson. Unmute yourself, Jim.
Boy, I'm having trouble with that today. This concerns the evaluation process for these different projects, and you mentioned that there's, you know, criteria and matrix and the like. Who is doing the evaluation? Is it staff, or is there a work group committee? How is that initially done?
Yes. I do the initial scoring. I've been doing it for the past three biennia, so there is some consistency on how we score particular projects. So once I complete the scoring of those projects, I turn it over to the capital budget work group, which has representatives from each of our programs. They review my scoring, and they have the opportunity to change. You know, if I give something a program priority of a 5 and they say it's very important for the program and they change it to a 10, then we allow that to happen. Just to brag a little bit, out of probably 4,000 scores, I bet there were probably less than 20 that actually got changed this year. I think doing it that way, we maintain some consistency. And also our capital budget work group has maintained consistency over the last couple of biennia as well. So they're very familiar with the process and how we score.
Okay.
It also allows me to tell a legislator why a project's ranked 28th and not 29th. I can show them exactly how things are evaluated.
Well, speaking of the legislature, this is obviously what goes forward to the governor, and then the governor may develop his own request, I assume, and then the legislature has a bat as well, and so both the House and the Senate. So I guess the question is, do they stick to this list, or do they add to it, modify it, et cetera? I kind of assume it's the latter.
Yeah, absolutely. They have been sticking to our priorities, and you know, occasionally they may not slip a particular one. You know, they may not fund like priority number 8 and jump down to 11 or 12 or something like that. But for the most part, they're consistent with our priorities, which is nice to see. And I think they understand that we have a pretty good system in place that's been working. And it also doesn't change our 10-year plan from biennium to biennium. We maintain some consistency over the years, which I think provides a lot of credibility to our program, to the legislators.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful.
Thank you. Commissioner Kehoe.
Yeah. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay. Hey, Tim, thanks for the presentation. Excellent as usual. And I just have a general question about the legislature's view of capital budgets in times like this, where we have a, you know, significant economic downturn. You know, capital budgets are a way to get money back into the economy, get people working, and just from your experience, you know, how are these types of budgets viewed?
Absolutely, they do generate jobs. A few years ago, I think they estimate 13 construction jobs per $1 million is kind of a rule of thumb. About 85% of our capital budget, the construction work, we contract out. So again, a lot of the money is going back out into the economy with contractors, subcontractors, and architectural and engineering firms. So a lot of the money, supports the economy. When it does come down to trying to, they will ask a lot of questions about, well, can this project be phased? Instead of giving you $10 million, what can you do for five? So we've got a good working relationship with legislative staff on trying to get the most bang for the buck. And I also understand, I'm not going to ask for $30 million on a particular project if I know I can't spend it all in one biennium. We try to maintain that balance as well, because I also understand that it takes up state bonding capacity that goes unused if we have to continue to reappropriate. So try not to ask for more money than we can really spend. And that's kind of how that last slide I showed you has, it's kind of what we call our work in place, and it shows an estimate of how much work we have, we've gotten done over the past few biennia. Back in 11-13, we were getting about $32 million of work done biennium, and we made a few changes in how we manage projects, and we more than doubled it. So we're hitting the $70 to $80 million biennium mark now. So the team is doing really well and getting work done. And the legislative staff likes this slide because they know that if they give us the money, we're going to get it spent.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions of Tim? Okay, if not, do we have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Commissioner Thorburn.
Move to approve the proposed FY 2021-2023 capital budget request as presented, allowing for minor adjustments to project scope, priority, and budget.
Okay, we have a motion from Commissioner Thorburn. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Commissioner Kehoe seconds that motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Tim. Good.